Heavenly Father, we remember the broken body. And the shed blood. And the forgiveness from all our sins, which was purchased by the Lord Christ. And we remember the most ironic of contrasts. That in that Exodus, O Lord, where the blood was over the door, that firstborn son was passed over. But that at the cross, the firstborn son was sacrificed. Heavenly Father, may each and every one who shared in this meal go away believing to the core of their being that every sin has been forgiven. That we have been delivered out of our slavery to sin. And may we live free, rejoicing in the perfect redemption purchased for us by Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I'm hoping that you can see that as Jesus celebrated with Passover with his disciples, all the imagery that it was there. And that night he lay down. Today we have pillows on our chairs as we celebrate Passover because he laid with his disciples around the table. It was a very close moment. It was a very intimate affair. Remember, it's just him and these guys in the room. And these people, they left their families and they followed him. I don't know if you realize it or not, Jesus' own family did not believe in who he was, not until later. But these guys dropped everything and followed him. And so he's laying around with his disciples, and maybe they didn't fully understand what was going on in that room, but he says, oh, how I wanted to celebrate this Passover with you, knowing full well that this is it. For him, it's a goodbye. And surrounded by the closest people, he reveals the betrayer, the one who would go and give him over to the authorities. He says, I tell you, one of you would betray me tonight. And they start looking around and says, who? He says, the one who dips with me at the same time. And just as Jesus' hand was in the dish, Judas' hand was in the dish. What were they eating? What were they drinking? Well, the very bitter herbs that we've been talking about, the sweetness of hope, the tears, and the bitterness of slavery, that's what they were doing. And at that moment, Jesus would speak to them in images that are familiar, because Passover is something that these guys have been celebrating all their lives. I realize that when you think about the message of this third cup, maybe it's completely new to you. Maybe that's the foundation. Maybe that's the beginning. But you see, for them, they already knew this message. They knew that the third cup, that this cup of blessing is actually the third promise. And a third promise says, I will redeem you with my outstretched arm. How about that? That's what the promise says. It's in the Bible. I showed it to you. It's right there. They know that's what this cup means. And so Jesus says, guess what? There's a meaning that you're not quite seeing. I'm going to die, and this is me. I am the Passover sacrifice. I am the Passover lamb. It's going to be my blood that's going to be poured out, not the blood of the lamb. You see, all this imagery is already available to them. That's something they know and they understand. But Jesus places himself in the middle of this celebration And what he says is that essentially he is now living through yet another Exodus. And he's not trying to deliver us from slavery to Pharaoh, although it would be nice if the Romans were gone. What he's trying to, the deliverance that he brings, is deliverance from the power of sin and death. You could be free walking around and be a slave. Spiritual freedom is just as important as physical freedom. And you see, this is the kinds of things that Jesus was talking about at the table. When he took that third cup, that they all knew what it meant. When he took that bread, probably that same very bread that we hid and then brought out, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat it and remember it." Now remember, all of that is already happening in Passover. All of these items are already there. This is what these guys have been doing since childhood. But Jesus says, "Oh no, this is not a bread of suffering which our ancestors ate in Egypt. I am going to become suffering for you. I'm going to go and die." He's taking image they already know and connecting it to what they're about to see. That's the story. He is working from a foundation that is so rich and powerful. We call this the bread of slavery. We call this the bread of affliction, the bread of poverty that our ancestors ate in Egypt. And Jesus says, that's what I'm going to go through. What people went through in slavery, I'm going to go through something very similar right now. So, you know, Jesus could have taken any bread. He could have taken the Passover lamb on the table and said, "This is my body." But he's taken this bread. And I want you to, for a second, just to think about this bread. What's special about it? It's unleavened. It has no sin. Remember, that's what leaven represents. It has no sin, no leaven, no yeast. And if you're going to make unleavened bread, there's only one right way to do it. Of course, the ingredients are simple, water and flour. You can't mess that one up. But then, if you to roll it out flat and simply stick it in the oven, you know what's going to happen? It's going to bubble up in the middle, and it's going to burn on the edges. It's not going to be only very ugly-looking Passover bread, but it's also going to be raw on the inside and burned on the outside. It's not going to taste good at all. If you want to make the unleavened bread correctly, the only way to do it is to put a bunch of holes in it so that the heat of the oven can cook it through, and it can escape through these little holes, and so that, you know, it wouldn't bubble up, essentially. And so since the ancient days, to cook matzah, what we had to do is we had to make a bunch of holes in it, and it would be pierced. But it would take me forever standing there with a fork or something poking a bunch of holes in it. Came up with this brilliant tool. It's a little wheel with a bunch of spokes, and you roll it across the dough, and you make all these holes at the same time. And so as you do this, what it does, it creates these stripes all across this bread. And then you stick it in the oven, and you bake it. And so this is the only bread that I know that is striped and pierced and then baked, and it looks like little bruises all over it, and it is unleavened. See, the symbolism behind that is just so powerful. It speaks to us. And that's why I think Jesus said, "This is me. This little piece of matzah, that's me." During Passover celebration, things that happen is, remember what we did, is we took this bag, three pieces of matzah, we took one out, hid it, now brought back, and wrapped it, shared it with everyone. If you were to ask the rabbis what three matzahs in the celebration represent, they would tell you that it means Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or they will tell you that it means the priests, the Levites, and the children of Israel. There's lots of traditions out there that are kind of all focused around three different things, and they're all wonderful and spiritual. But I'm going to ask you a question, hoping that you can see something maybe a little bit more. What do you think three matzahs kind of together can represent? And when one is taken out, broken, hidden, wrapped, and then brought out, unwrapped, and eaten? You guys see something a lot different in this tradition than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? You're seeing something a little more. It's obvious. It's obvious. But you know, you might be surprised how many Jewish people follow this custom year after year after year and do not see what you just saw. And the reason why they don't is because they never actually heard the gospel. They can't connect the dots that do not exist in their mind. You connected the dots. I didn't tell you what it means. I just made the dots for you. You connected them and figured this out. Well, imagine if nobody did that for you. That's the problem. I want you to realize that a lot of people do not see the beauty that you see in this, the connection. When Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples, he drank from the third cup. He said, that's his blood. As he went up the mountain singing songs with his disciples, he prayed, Lord, may this cup pass from me, because that is the cup of his suffering. That is the cup he was about to drink to the fullest. But I believe Jesus did not drink the fourth cup of Passover. You see, the fourth cup of Passover, we call it Hallel. Hallel in Hebrew means praise. That is when we sing Psalms 113 through 118. And I believe Jesus didn't drink it by saying, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. Remember those words in the Gospels? I think they were spoken about the fourth cup. And here's why I think. It's all about the meaning. Now, I told you about the meaning of three different cups. Well, what is the fourth cup? Well, the meaning of the fourth cup is in the fourth promise. What does the fourth promise in Exodus 6 says? It says, I will take you from my people, and I will be your God. Did that happen in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Not exactly, because Jesus, the King of Kings, was crucified as if he was a criminal. That didn't happen. He did not receive the praise that is really due to a king. Maybe that's what the disciples thought would happen, but it didn't happen. So you see, Jesus wasn't ready to drink that cup. The time has come for him to suffer and die, but the time for the triumph and glory and praise was yet to come. So he said, I will drink this cup in the future, in the kingdom. So when will it happen? I imagine that the eastern sky will burst open one day and people will see a silhouette coming down from the sky. And at that moment, I can imagine that every television station will be pointing cameras in the right direction. So CNN, CBS, NBC, Al Jazeera. How about Al Jazeera? Hi, this is Ahmed from Al Jazeera. I'm reporting to you live from Jerusalem, right over the Mount of Olives. The sky has opened up and I see this man coming out. Can you imagine that? That would be awesome to see that on Al Jazeera. I believe that when he comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and I believe on that day his praise will be complete and he will drink from that cup. Why? Because all these things have been fulfilled. We close the Passover with the same exact words every year. We say, L'Shana Aba'a Birushalayim, which means next year in Jerusalem. And the reason why we say that, and every Jewish family says that, is because we believe that when Messiah comes, he's going to come to Jerusalem, because that's the seat of David. That's where the throne of David is, because he's the king. And when he comes, where would you rather want to be but in Jerusalem? So when he comes, we're all taken off to Jerusalem to celebrate with him. And that's the hope. The Passover always ends on a note of hope. The Messiah is coming. Jewish people are looking for the coming of the Messiah. Can they not see Jesus? Sadly, yes, many of them cannot. But that is where we come in. I wanted to share something with you. Well, I brought some brochures that I wanted to get into your hands. Gentlemen, if you help me pass these out, I wanted to share in closing just a couple of minutes about why in the world did I come all the way to share this message with you. Well, besides the fact that I'd like to tell you my Jewish jokes about Passover and stuff like that, and just entertain you for Sunday morning, I believe that this message is deeply spiritual, and I believe that it resonates with all of us in different ways. You see, I work for an organization called Chosen People Ministries, and as an organization, over 100 years ago, we were started by a rabbi who all of a sudden realized that the Messiah has come. He read the ancient prophecies, and he saw that Jesus was the Messiah. And he's been telling that to everyone else in his family and his friends, and he started our ministry, and that is what we do even today. Because guess what? Many people have never heard. They've never heard the gospel and never heard the story of Jesus. They never heard it in this way, certainly have never heard it that way. But he's all in us. If you have seen me demonstrate to you what I showed you today, do you not see the Messiah in all these things? Do you not see the gospel played all out? It's there. So here's why you're getting these brochures. Because I want to give you an opportunity to stay in touch with our ministry. See, there's a very important part of this brochure. See this little perforated part? There's one ritual of the Passover that I want to teach you. It's a very, very ancient ritual. It's called the tearing of the brochure. You ready? This is what you do. You go like that, and you tear it off. Now, I'm asking you to do this for a very simple reason. Hold on to the brochure. Learn about Chosen People Ministries, who we are, what we do. Familiarize yourself in your free time on that. But this piece of paper, if the Lord lays it upon your heart, fill it out, put your name and address on it. I'll be outside the door as the service ends. You can hand it back to me, because here's what I would love to happen. I would love to have an opportunity to stay in touch with you. And I absolutely have no idea what's going on through your hearts right now. Maybe you want to pray for the salvation of Jewish people. You don't know how. Maybe this particular presentation fascinates you and you want to know more about these types of things. Well, if you are connected with our ministry, these opportunities will come. So I'm simply inviting you to stay in touch with our ministry. If you give me your name and address, then we'll start exchanging messages. You know, mail system works, emails work. So we'll be able to do that. And I encourage you to do that if the Lord lays it upon your heart. I'll be outside the doors to get these pieces of paper from you. And in closing, I want to tell you thank you so much for allowing me to come and to share this beautiful heritage that we have. It's rich, it's deep, it goes so many thousands of years back. But it shows to us how the whole Bible works together. How from the beginning, this message of redemption still resonates with you and I today. And this cup that you know as the cup, Jewish people actually know it as well. It just happens to be one of four cups that are drunk on Passover. So thank you for allowing me to come and share this message with you. I'm hoping that it resonates with you as much as it does with me. And thank you, Pastor, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Friday evening, 7 p.m., right here, our Good Friday service. We really have a good one planned. I hope you'll come and be part of that with us. And then next Sunday, 9:15, special fellowship time, service at 10:30 for all of us, celebrating Easter. Pastor Tony will be here. Big day for our church. Hope you'll be a part of that as well. Thank you all for being here today. Have a wonderful week.